Pasuk Yud Zayin, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vatalaket Vasodeh Ad Ha'arev Rus. She collected in the field until the evening. Vatachboit, and she threshed. Esa Sheli Keta Vatihi was Kefos Soirim, and the shear was an Ephon. Ephos, three saw. Is three saw of barley. We'll discuss the significance of the shear in one moment. And it was an Ephah of barley. Again, this is a continuation of Pasuk Tes Zayin and Tes Vav, where Boaz said to Rus, I want you to remain here in my property. I do not want you to collect leket, shechen, peah from other fields. I want you to stay here. I've told my young men that they should not harass you, they should not scream at you, they should not touch you, and when you'll come here, you'll be able to eat at my table, you'll be able to dip your bread in vinegar, and all of your needs will be taken care of, but just remain here on this location. And she listened, she gathered until the evening.
Yeah. Did Boaz respond to her request to be there, that he says stay here? Or was there a reason he wanted her?
He wanted to marry her. He wanted to keep his eye on her. He didn't want someone else to marry her.
But she originally said to him,
she usually said to him, I don't deserve, you're too kind to me, I don't deserve all this kindness.
And, you know, she doesn't know what, how to do it, like it, whatever.
Well, I know, it seemed like she did. It was Vayikor Mikrecha, it was chance, it was padlock, it was a mazel. Hashkocha prophesied that she happened to fall upon the field of Boaz. She did not plan. The pasuk makes it very clear. Vayikor Mikrecha, it was a chance that she happened to fall upon the field of Boaz. And Boaz said to her, I don't want you to go somewhere else, I want you to stay here. She listened to him. Shvat laki basod al erem till the evening. But now here it says something interesting.
What I'm asking is, because would she have made more than
would she have made more money going somewhere else?
Right.
Not likely. He told his men that they should deliberately forget shol toshol, they should deliberately forget, they should put more food in the field for her to collect. So it seems this was for her benefit. Okay, now it says vatachbo. Tachbo means in addition to collecting the stalks of grain, she went through the effort of threshing it on the spot, on the field itself, which is a lot of hard work. You have to take some type of tool. Normally it's done with animals. You have to let the animals run around with attached to various types of instruments, and they thresh. It crushes the stalks of grain, causes the kernel to separate from the chaff. Then you have to winnow. You have to throw it up into the air and cause the chaff to fly away, and just remain just with the kernel, the kernels of grain. She did all of this so that she would not have to carry home waste. If she were to carry home in her bag the actual stalks of grain, she would only be able to take home a much less, because how much could she already carry? And then all of the psoilas would take up space. This way she threshed in the field itself the earth stalks of grain. She was left over with just the kernels of barley, and therefore she was able to fill up a sack of barley, and the sack of barley equaled an ephah of Sa'arim. Now we'll see. Let's first over here see what it says in the Rashi, and then in the Targum. Okay, there is no Rashi on this pasuk. Let's take a look right away at the Targum pasuk Yud Zayin. Utsevaras. Tsevaras means she collected. Vatalaket. That's the Targum we use for talaket leket. Shuvlin stalks. Bechakla in the field ad Ramsha until the evening. Vidashas. She threshed. Okay, so it makes it very clear. Vatachbod means to bang. To hit. And then what do you mean she's hitting?
To beat.
She beat. Beating over here means it's not just beating. Over here the Targum says it means she beat. Doesn't mean that she packaged it tightly. It means she actually beat it and separated the kernels from the chaff. Vidashas, threshing, yashuv lin, the stalks, tzvaras, which she collected, vahavashi urhoin, the shear was kitlosin. An ephah is equal to three se'in se'irin of barley. Now the Medrash explains, three se'in of barley, a person when they travel, you're only able to lift upon your shoulder a half of an ephah. A half of an ephah is approximately, I should actually quote, it's approximately a little bit more than 1.5 saw is the sheer Chazal tell an average person is able to carry on their shoulder. Here it says that she was able to carry on her shoulder when she took home back to Nami. She was able to bring home to her Nami 3 saw. 3 saw is double the amount the average person is able to comfortably carry on their shoulder by themselves. And this pasuk, by telling us it was an ephah sa'irim, which she, the next pasuk Yudches says vatisa, she lifted up the entire ephah of barley, vatavoho ir, she came back to her mother-in-law, tells us that Rus was a very strong, healthy, able-bodied woman. She was able to carry on her shoulders double what the average person could carry. That's the important point that is Pasuk is telling us by telling us the size. Let me see if I can quickly find the exact words of the Medrash. Here it is. Vahi keifa sarim, the kama hi eifa. What is an eifa? I'm reading over here from Rus Rabbah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar shalosh se'im, 3 se'in. Like we learned in Masechta Menachah, so eifa shalosh se'in. The Hishmi'anu Apostle, the Pasuk is the parish telling us, Koicho Gvurasa. We learned in Masechta Bava Metzia, Shemasa Adam Beinoni Hu Chomesh Se'in. The average person can carry 5, but you only can carry 5 on your shoulder when someone else loads you up. One person cannot support himself. It's like the thing we mentioned a couple of times in Olam Haba, there are no elbows. All of the neshamos do not have elbows. So if you don't have an elbow, how are you going to eat? Try to eat without bending your arm. It's impossible. So how then are you going to eat in Olam Haba? You have to be fed. Someone else has to feed you. They can feed you without moving their elbows. Same thing, if a person wants to carry the maximum load, the load of 5 sin, in order to carry the load of 5 sin, you have to someone else must load the 5 sin upon your shoulder. If you want to load it yourself, the Gemara goes on to say, Shemasa adam beinoni chumesh chamesin, kishe mat inin es hamasa alav, when someone else loads the burden upon you. Uchashemerim bi'atzma es hamasa, but when you yourself lift up the burden, who shlish mizeh, as I told you, if it's a third of 5 is a little bit more than 1.5. Tahainu pachos mishtei sin, less than 2 sin. So that's what's normal. Again, when we review, the Gemara says that if the person can carry a maximum of 5 sin, whatever the shear is, 5 measures of barley, but it has to be loaded upon his shoulder by someone else. If you want to load upon your shoulder the grain, you have to do it. You have to. You only can do it a third of this, which is a little bit more than 1.5. And here it says that she was able to carry upon her shoulder 3, which is double, teaching us what?
Yeah, 1 2/3.
1 2/3. Okay.
Doing it unassisted.
Okay. So 1 2. So here she was able to lift approximately double. Approximately double. That is what the pasuk here is telling us. Her koyach v'nasa v'erima be'atzma shaloshin. This is her koyach. Okay. Let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, the next pasuk says, pasuk Yudches, Vatisa Batavo Ir, she lifted the sword on her shoulder, if she came to the city, Vater Chamoitza Esa Shaliketa, her mother-in-law saw what she gathered, Vatotse Vatite La, Rus took out from her package, from her bag, what she had and gave it to her, Ace Asher Hoisira Misava, what was left over from her satisfaction. Rashi, there is no Rashi on this pasuk. Let's see the Targum, pasuk Yudches, Visovaras. The Sivaras means she carried. She carried Va'alas, and she entered Likarta, the city, because she went out of the city to gather the grain. Va'chazas Chamoisa, her mother-in-law saw Yasma Dichnashas, what she gathered. Va'apekas min Tarmila, at that point in time, Rus took out the food from the package. V'havasla, and gave it to her mother-in-law. Yos what? Yos mezoina, this food, the Ishtar La, that was left over, mi sava, from what she was satisfied. So he's not really eating any.
She ate and she left over. So left over, I mean, it's a doggy bag, but not meat. So how does that fit in with all the mitzvahs?
Okay, so obviously here there's a lot left over. There's a lot left over. Over here, three saws, an enormous amount to be left over.
No, but one is from... No, what she collected was from the barley. What she ate was not barley. She ate something
that was... Delicacies. Okay, I'm sorry. So you're saying that...
Left over a doggy bag to take back to an army?
When you leave over does not necessarily mean you leave over a doggy bag. You can leave over the majority. You go to a restaurant. Think about it. You go to a restaurant and you have a small, they give you a big, big portion. You just take a little of that. And they say to you, the waiter says, would you like me to pack it up for you? So the leftovers sometimes can be even more than the main portion. So you're right. I don't know. It's the word batois has a connotation that it's a small amount. It's not a significant amount. Enoch enami. But, okay, I don't know the answer, but we are assuming over here this is what she provided for was something significant. You correct me. I don't understand the passage. Now I understand is this entire
the saw that she bought, you can't eat.
The grain has to be prepared. Right, has to be prepared. So he's giving her over here leftover.
Edible right away.
So she's giving that was she's giving Naomi the food, the actual food that was given to her on the table in the home of Boaz or the table of Boaz. Boaz told her to sit with the workers, and there was a lunch break. And at the lunch break, Boaz gave her food, and she ate a small amount. It says vatoichal vatispa vatoisar. The leftover, what she was satisfied, she packaged. Up, she put away in a package, and she took home with her. That is in addition to the three sub grain that she brought on her back. Yeah.
Just want to go back for a second. The pasuk is not telling us how strong she was.
Yes.
It's telling us that she was so motivated to help her mother-in-law. That's what gave her the strength to schlep all of
it. Is that what you want to say? But the Medrash seems to say that the telling us her strength. It says the Pharisee that that was her strength.
What if?
She carried three.
What's the point of that? She's working on it.
She was a strong person. I don't know. Okay, I don't know. All right. She was motivated. She developed her muscles out of motivation to do good for her mother-in-law. If she's a strong, healthy woman, she'll be able to help her mother-in-law more than normal. So she developed her koichas. All right. I don't know. All right. So she gathered, she came, she brought out, she showed her mother-in-law what she prepared, and she gave her what she left over. Okay, let's go to... let's go to Pasuk Yutes. Pasuk Yutes, Vatomer lo Chamoisa, her mother-in-law, when she saw the leftover food and she saw the three soft grain, she was very impressed. She said to her, Efo likatit hayom. You take out the yod. You read the likatit. Where did you collect leket? Where did you go today to collect leket? The ona osis. And where did you work? Labor? Maybe over sis over here means where did you thresh? It's not just because first it says likatit. What's the repetition? First, where did you collect the standing ears to gather? And then after you gathered, there was a lot of more work that had to be done. You had to thresh, you had to winnow, you had a package. There was a lot of work that needed to be done after you actually collected the standing ear, the stalks of grain, before you can bring home to me a package of kernels of barley that were three saw. The ona osis. Obviously, the person, someone helped you. Obviously, this is not by accident that there was a balabais that was very generous, allowed you to collect such a large amount, did not harass you, and provided your needs. Yehi, therefore, I want to make a statement. Yehi makirech baruch, may the one that recognized you, that was so kind to allow you to this, may he be blessed. And she, so Rus responded that it's correct. What she did with him. What Esa Asher Asa Sa'imo? What she did with this person? Vatoma. Then she went on to say, Shemo Ish Asher Asisi Imo Hayoim Boaz. The name of the man. So first, there's a little bit of repetition. First, it says Asher Asa Sa'imo. What she did with him, and then she repeats it. Vatoma Shemo Ish Asher Asisi Imo. I did with him. There was some form of reciprocation. She did with him, Asisi, I did imo with him, meaning I did him a favor. Today, his name is Boaz.
Let's. But it says Hayom, doesn't kind of imply that previous days she wasn't successful. And she
it could be this was the first day. From the symbol of reading of the Pesukim, it would seem that this was her first day on the job.
Hayom. Maybe the other way around.
Then until now...
Hey, all day previously, you know, she wasn't successful. She got chased away. She said, where'd you go today? Look, you got so much.
And which implies that yesterday you were not successful.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, there is a medish. Yeah.
We had no idea what normal record was.
Yeah.
She was a rich woman when she was in Eretz Yisrael. She never had a ticket.
Yeah. So she never expected that you can get...
She came back, and suddenly she comes there one day, 2 days she brings, and suddenly she comes up one day with a fortune, you know?
Right, so she
says, what's going on? Where did you go today?
Yeah, okay, I hear. I don't know. All right, but over here, there's a lot going on in this bus. Let's first see Rashi. Rashi says, the one that recognizes you, may he be blessed. Bal hasadeh, shenosan v'nosan loch ponim l'lakei b'sadeh. The Bal hasadeh, who was generous, who was favorable to you, who showed you a kind face to allow you to collect, may he be blessed. Okay, now, that's all it says in Rashi. Let's see the Targum Pasuk Yates. V'amaras lach hamoisa. Her mother-in-law said to her, Lo'on tse vart, yoima dein. Where did you collect today? Lo'on ishta dalt. Where were you? Where did you make an effort? L'nevad, to do work. Where did you exert yourself to do all the labor, this labor? Yehi guvro. May it be the man, the ishte moda. Ishte moda means who made himself known. Makirech, lich to you, mivarech, may he be blessed. Vehavias lachamasa, and may, vachavias means she spoke. Lachamasa, so she responded. The question is, where did you go today? Where did you work? Who's the person that was so kind to you? So Rus responded to her mother-in-law. Yos the ishtadalt lemevadi mei. She said to her father-in-law, with the person that I busied myself, lemevadi mei, va'amarash shum gavra. And she said to him a second time, as it says in the Pasuk, Shum Gavra de Ishtadalis, the name of the man that I busied myself, Lemevad Imei Yomo Dein today, Miskere, his name is Boaz. His name is Boaz. Okay, now there is over here a very important diak. The diak is, as you mentioned before, why does it say the word Hayom? Asher Sisi Imo Hayom Boaz. So simply means that today was the very first day when she worked with him. On this day, she was successful. However, the Midrash says, don't take the word Imo in Hayom in reference to my labor. The word Imo is to be connected to Boaz. Today, his name was changed to Boaz. Hayom Boaz. Yesterday, his name was Ivtson. Today, Hayom, today his name became Boaz. Why today did he become Boaz? Because Boaz, according to the Medrash, is Beis Oz. Or Ayin Zayin is Hashem Oz Liamo Yitein Hashem Yivarech Esamo Vashlom. Oz means might. This man has a double koyach. There are two dimensions of might to be found in the character of this person. Number one, he is mighty in that he saved Klal Yisrael from their enemies. The main function of a shofet, this goes back to a discussion, what was the function of shoftim versus kings? One of the main functions of a shofet is to save Klal Yisrael from their enemies. So number one, he was successful in saving them from the enemies. Number two, the oz is his righteousness. In his zechus, the famine came to an end. The fact that today I was able to go to a field and I was able to collect such an enormous amount of leftovers, if this is the leftovers, you only can imagine what the principle is, or what the main product is. And here we're coming at a time that was right after a very great famine, one of the 10 great famines in the history of the world. How could it possibly be that the famine came to an end at such a at this point in time? Seemingly, Rus was saying the famine should have lasted much longer. The answer is, there's a very great tzaddik that's leading the generation, and in his merit, the famine came to an end, and that's why he earned today this, and the proof that the famine has come to an end is the fact that I'm able to bring home to you, Naomi, such an enormous amount of food, 3 measures worth of kernels of barley, indicative the famine is has come to an end. So today he has earned, this person, Ivtson, has earned a double title, Beis Oz. He's not just mighty in the fact that he has saved Klal Yisrael from their enemies, he's also mighty in regard to the fact that in his merit, the famine has come to an end. Hayom Boaz. Today he is Boaz. But yesterday he was only Ivtson, he was only a one oz, a single oz, Ivtson, that was his regular name. Today he has achieved a new madrega. Okay, that is one interpretation in the Medrash. Okay, there's another very important chazal which a lot of the Mefarshim talk about, and that is, she says over here twice. First she says the man, she says to me twice. First she says to him, when you go travel, when you go collect today, the onosis, he makirich baruch, tatagil chamoisa, esa asher osa saima, what she did with him. And then she goes on to say, "Vatomer," she repeats herself, "Shemu ish asher osisi imo, I did with him." In other words, I did him a favor.
Before him.
She changed it, osisi. Instead of saying in the beginning, osisa imo, here she changes her expression to say, osisi imo. So what does this mean? So Chazal say, more than what the rich man does for the poor man does for the rich man. A rich man, when he gives charity, is sustaining the poor man in this world, Olam Hazeh only. But the poor man, by taking the charity, is giving a merit to the Baal Habayis, to the rich man, in this world and in the next world. Aser ta aser, aser b'shul tshet tisaser. By giving tzedakah, it says, Chazal tell us, a person will be blessed with ashirus in this world, and the zuchus of giving tzedakah is a zuchus that will remain with the person in the next world. So more than what the rich man does for the poor man by sustaining him in this world, the poor man does for the rich man by giving him the zuchus to do tzedakah. So here Rust is saying, you think he did me the favor by coming here and giving me, allowing me to collect 3 measures of barley? I did him the favor. Look at the zuchusim that he's going to have in the next world, that he's going to have over here. He gave so much tzedakah. Now the big question is, this is a very nice chazal, but is this really the way you talk? Is that the way you're supposed to? Can you imagine? You go, and you collect. A collector comes to the person's house and says, "I'm here to give you a zechus, to do you a favor. You think you give me a favor? Give me $100, and I'm doing you the favor." It may very well be true that when the rich man gives tzedakah to the poor man, the poor man is doing him a favor. But that's not the way you talk. You don't talk like that. That's not derech eretz. So what then does this chazal mean? So here in the Sanasi Bamedinos, he has a beautiful interpretation. He says that he. That's why she repeated herself. She says, his name is Boaz. Let me tell you about this person. He's such a good person. He's such a kind person that when he gave me charity, he told me, you think I'm doing you a favor. You're doing me the favor. It all depends who makes the comment. The self-deprecating humor is very, very funny. When self-deprecating, when you make the jokes yourself, when someone says exactly those things about you, it's not so funny. Right, we all know that, and you could see people, Obama, they have the dinner where they invite the media, what was it called?
The White House correspondent.
The correspondent's dinner once a year. So the jokes that he makes, that self-deprecating humor that are made there is noir of oyim. If someone would say that, people would say those jokes about him, it would be like Yehudim, right? It would be in the media, how dare you talk like that. But if you say it about yourself as a joke, you can say whatever you want. Same thing, who would dare have the chutzpah? What only would dare have the chutzpah to say to a rich man, I'm doing you the favor? What a chutzpah. But for the ani, but for the rich man to say it, that's an entirely different thing. Here, Rus is coming to praise the milos, the midos of Boaz. He made me feel so good, and she's repeating that when he gave me this charity, he said to me, "Shame o ish," the name of the man, which doesn't mean just shame. What does it mean, shame o ish? It means this is his essence, the personality, the midos of the person is so great that he made me feel that I was doing him the favor by taking the charity. Okay, this is the way we explain this chazal.
Wouldn't it be a bigger madrega of tzedakah
if a person gets this dog up without knowing who he is?
Absolutely, but you don't always have a choice.
So why is this is so important that she should know Boaz and Boaz?
Well, you have no choice when you're doing, when there are different types of stock. The stock of Lekat Shechen Pei, in this instance, there was no choice. Boaz was watching his field. Chazal say a few people later on that the door was a door, there were a lot of gazlan, and he had to protect his field. In this situation, he had no choice but to know who was the recipient. But he's still, in this situation, it was not possible. It was not possible. And this is his good midos. Now, I mean, this just reminds me of the Chofetz Chaim. There is an exception in this rule, the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz, it's well known when the Chofetz Chaim would raise money. Chofetz Chaim raised an enormous amount of money in his lifetime for many different causes. And it's said over in the storybooks that very often when he would ask people for money, he's offering the people, he's doing a favor for the people. Just like what we just said, that I'm giving you an opportunity to have a zechus, have a merit in being part of something a lot larger. You have to first understand that when Chofetz Chaim said that, he was not talking about collecting money for himself. He was talking about collecting money for a cause, for an institution, for the greater good. It's one thing when you go collect charity for yourself. You knock on someone's door and say, I want a donation for me, for Mir. I want a donation for myself. So then, that's already a different story. Then you're not going to go say to the person, I'm coming to give you the favor. But when you're not collecting for yourself, you're collecting for a greater cause, for part of the community, then it's not so embarrassing to make that statement that you're doing, I'm giving you an opportunity to give you a zechus. And the Chofetz Chaim, indeed, he said this. However, many people try to do this today, like the Chofetz Chaim, it does not go off well. People come knocking on your door and they tell you, I'm here to collect money, not for me. I'm coming to collect money for an institution. I'm coming to do you the favor. It does not work well. So why is it so that it doesn't work well today, but it worked well? Because the Chofetz Chaim really meant it. That's the difference. When the Chofetz Chaim sent it, the Chofetz Chaim was sincere, was 100% sincere, and the people felt that sincerity, and they knew he was right. But when people, the average person, tries the same thing at home, and he goes and collects money for an institution and says, I'm doing it to give you a zuchus, really? Isn't your parnasa dependent upon this? Don't you have children in the yeshiva? Don't you have this? Don't you have ulterior motives? And where's all the money going anyway? What's going on over here? People sense that they're not being sincere. That's why today this technique does not usually work well. But you see the concept explicitly here in the Pasuk, and here it's being used in reference to an individual, but the beautiful parish of the Sarasi Dina says, we're coming to describe his midos, he made the recipient feel good. Okay, but let's go to Pasuk Kaf. Pasuk, let me just make sure I didn't forget anything. Okay, let's go right away to Pasukha. Pasukha, Vatama Nami Lachalasa. When Nami heard about this chesed, she said to her daughter, she said to Baruch Hu Lashem, she was astonished. She was amazed. Wow, do you mean to say that Boaz, that's the person who you happen to stumble upon? There are so many fields. There could have been hundreds, thousands of fields, possible places where she could have fallen upon. And she happened to fall upon the field of Boaz, which happened to be her relative. So she said, Baruch Hu Lashem, may he be blessed. May this man be blessed to Hashem. Now here comes the difficult part of the pasuk. Who is the next part of the pasuk referring to? Are we describing Hashem or are we describing Boaz? It's machlokes in the Rishonim. Machlokes. Some say refers to Hashem, some say refers to Boaz. Asher. Let's now say refers to Hashem. Asher. Hashem is blessed for what purpose? Why? Le'ozav chasto. He did not abandon his kindness. Es hachayim v'es hameisim. The living and the dead. Period. V'atomolo Nami. Now Nami makes a new statement. She says, guess what? I got good news to tell you. Karoiv lo nuho ish. This man is one of our relatives. Migo aleinu, who he is my first cousin. His father and my father are brothers. I think that's some interpretation. I saw in the Farshim. We're cousins. Karoiv lo nuho ish. Migo aleinu, who he is our redeemer. He is a relative. And if we are destitute and we have a field, Naomi had real estate. Naomi owned real estate in Eretz Yisrael, and she needed to sell the real estate because she needed to use that money to support herself for the remainder of her life. So the first one that has the obligation, last week's parish, Parashas Bichukosai, the first one that has the obligation to redeem the field, and the first rights, and the first one that has the obligation is the closest relative. So he is Migaleinu, who he is going to be the one that's going to be presented with an opportunity to purchase the real estate that I own from my husband, Elimelech, from years ago. Okay, let's see. Rashi, Pasuk Chaf, Es HaChayim V'Es HaMesim. So Rashi learns that this description refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sustained the living on the dead. Shazon Mefarnes HaChayim. Hashem sustains the living. V'Netapel B'Tzorchei HaMesim. And Hashem busies himself with the needs of the dead. This is a very mystical expression. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean Hashem busies himself with the dead in Olam HaEmes? With the Neshamos? And the Neshamos, there are activities. There are programs. There are shiurim. They have needs. The Nesim and the Olam HaEmes have needs. We have no idea what this means. Is that what the Pasuk means? Possibly. Or maybe it means that in this world also the dead have needs. The dead have to be properly buried. The cemeteries have to be maintained. Tachrichim have to be prepared. There's a whole industry of burial society, so on and so forth. So it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in making sure that the dead are properly buried. That is seemingly how Rashi interprets the words of the pasuk in reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's see the Targum pasuk Chaf va'amaras Naomi lichalta lichalisa. Naomi said, okay, I'm reading from a different edition because I have a translation. I have some notes, so I'm not able to read from your edition. So my edition, the Nikud, and sometimes the words are a little bit different. So I apologize if I don't say it the way you have it, but you'll get the idea. Va'amaras Nami lechalse. Nami said to her daughter-in-law, Mivarachu mipum kudsho de Hashem. May this man be blessed out of the mouth of Hashem. That's a very fascinating expression. Does not say that in the pasuk. It's something the Targum embellishes. That may he be blessed. So what is he a blessing? Hashem has a peh. Hashem speaks. Not a physical peh. But here he adds in, Baruch Hu Hashem, may he be blessed from the pum of the mouth of Kudsho Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Lo Shavak, the Kudsho Hashem, the Lo Shavak, Tevusei Imchai, similarly means that Hashem did not abandon his kindness with the living or the dead. Vamaras la Nami. Nami then makes a second statement. Guess what? Kyariv lana guvra. This man is a relative of ours. Miperikonohu. He is in line to be our redeemer. He has first in line to redeem our field. Now, according to those who learn that this pasuk refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, some also want to interpret this to mean, over here he explains in reference to, he is going to be your husband. Naomi already al pi ruach hakodesh sensed mi goaleinu. He is the redeemer. He's going to redeem the neshama of your husband. In other words, these are very mystical things which touch upon the concepts of Yibum, that since you were married to Machloin, and Machloin, some say she was married to Kilion also, Kilion first and then Machloin, or Machloin then Kilion, that's the whole discussion of which one she married first. There are different opinions, if she was indeed married to both, or married to only one, but being that you were married at least to one of them, the neshama of your husband does not have menucha. If a person is married and leaves this world without a child, leaves over a widow, Chazal say, we don't know what this means, the neshama does not have menucha. The neshama is in a state of tzar until either there's chalitza, the neshama is released, or the neshama is reconnected through the process of Yibam. And before Matan Torah, and even after Matan Torah, Yibam L'chatchila is done by the brother, but there is such a concept that it can be done by any relative. So now that Naomi sees in front of her this incredible Hashkacha Pratis, that Rus came upon the field of Boaz, and Boaz is a relative who theoretically can be participant in the process of Yibam, which would take away the tsar from the neshama of Machloin, the son of Naomi. That is the mace that we are discussing. So this Hashem is so kind that he sustained us in famine. He brought you to a field where you were able to bring home an enormous amount of food, the living. And number two, I see now what's happening. I see the Hashkacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting you up, my daughter-in-law, or she calls her my daughter, to marry this man. And by doing so, there will be a fulfillment of Yibum, which will bring Menucha to the dead being my son, Nachlon. He has not abandoned his kindness with the living, you and me, the Esamesim, and my son, Nachlon. Some can even say Kilian also. They're somehow all connected through the Yibum that's now going to begin to unfold, because this man is our relative, he is Galenu, and Galenu here means in the broader picture of things, he's our Redeemer, he is the one that's going to do Yibum, the one that's going to redeem the Neshama. Now here, yeah? Was the Nami subject to Yibum? So the question is, at what point, who died first? No, she's not subject to Yibum, because first her husband died, and she left over two sons. Yes, that's, of course, that's the assumption. Yes, yes. First her husband died, so then there's no Yibum. So now when her son dies, there is never going to be Yibum for at least Al Pi Halacha. There is a discussion that indeed Boaz really should have married Naomi, And that way brought Melech HaMashiach, but it was passed down to Ross. There is a discussion, I don't know, maybe we'll come across it later on. What?
She would have come from
Nami? Possibly. He came from David. You wouldn't have Ross. I don't know. Maybe we'll come down a little bit later on. Okay, now this is the very first time we're touching upon this idea that it's openly being noticed, Migaleinu, hidden to, that Boaz is going to marry, is the Redeemer, is going to do a token Yibum, in order to spare the neshama of give menucha to the neshama of Nachlein, which will ultimately come to the birth of Moshiach. Now this is not the first time. Where did all this start from? It started from Tamar.
And you contradict with that other opinion.
The two sides
could have come from Naomi, because otherwise that whole business is meaningless.
Okay, Boaz, so it comes out now that both sides of the family came through a form of Yibum. Boaz was a descendant of Tamar. Tamar gave birth to Zerach. Zerach and Peretz. Peretz. So Peretz was a product of Yibum. According to the Ramban, Even though the father was, it would appear to be an incestuous relationship between a father-in-law and a daughter-in-law, yet the Ramban makes it very clear that before Matan Torah, any relative can do the mitzvah of Yibum, even a father. Even the father of the father-in-law. What? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Prove that there was Giyur, because if she married Nachlon and they died, it would have been Giyur.
No, there's no question. There's no halachic Yibum. It's only a symbolic. It's only even Migaleinu. It's a daughter. It's not a halachic Yibum. It's not a brother. According to all opinions, there is no halachic Yibum taking place. There is a symbolic Yibum. But all of the commentators say, but don't take that lightly. The symbolic Yibum is significant as well. The father of Mashiach and the mother of Mashiach both come through a process. Both sides of the family of the birth of Mashiach come through Yibum. Peretz is a product of a symbolic Yibum. The father-in-law Yehuda married his daughter-in-law to produce a child, and that when the Tamar was an almana waiting for Yibum, waiting for the third son, Shela. And therefore, instead of Shela being the Miyabim, Yehuda was the Miyabim and produced his child. Now we're going down a few generations. We're coming to the other side of the family. Or the one that Peretz marries, he's also going to continue the process by marrying Rus HaMovia in a ceremony that is a symbolic Yibum. So now the big question is why? Why is Yibum essential to the concept of the bringing of Mashiach? So the answer, I once heard this idea, What exactly is Yibam? Yibam is the concept to rebuild. Okay, that's the whole thing. A very powerful word, to rebuild. There is building and there is rebuilding. You build a house, very nice, beautiful. But chas v'shalom, the house, if there's a churban, then you have to rebuild the house. Mashiach, the coming of Mashiach is the rebuilding of the world. Ideally, there should not have been a Mashiach. Ideally, in every state in our history, if the plan would have gone, according to schedule, there would not have been a need to go to the next step. If Adam Harish from the very beginning would not have eaten from the Eitz Hadas, that's it. The world would have achieved its perfection in the very beginning. What this means, immediately. So the world would have been built with a solid foundation, and there never would have been a churban. The first churban occurred, Adam Harish ate from the Eitz Hadas, churban. So the world needed to be rebuilt. Who came along to rebuild the world at the very beginning? The Avos, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Things did not go according to plan at every state in history. Yosef was sold into slavery. That was considered to be a major failure. There had to be some type of tikkun. Talk about the Chet HaEgel. That certainly did not go according to plan. There are various stages where things did not go according to plan. Mashiach represents the concept to rebuild, to get us back to where we were meant to be in the very beginning. This is the nature, the essence of what Mashiach is, to rebuild, to reestablish what was meant to be in the beginning. And that is why the birth of Mashiach is always described, always comes through the concept of Yibam. Yibam, you are rebuilding the home that has been destroyed. A man died, he left over a wife with no children, his bias was chorav, the brother steps in to rebuild the bias. This world is Hashem's bias. This bias is chorav. We made many mistakes throughout history. Mashiach is coming to rebuild the bias that was chorav. Therefore, the birth of Mashiach from the time of Peretz, going now forward in the later generations with the birth of, with David, which coming from Rus, is done through the process of Yibam, which is the process of rebuilding.
And okay. Go back to Moab. Themselves are rebuilding. They thought the world was horrible.
Right, exactly. So I don't want to touch upon that because that's not really Yibam. Okay, the whole birth of Moab itself was through incest. And what exactly was taking place over there? So your mayor is suggesting is what did the two daughters say? The world is choraf. They believe there was no one left in the world but them. So they had no choice but to rebuild the world. Their machshava, if you want to put a positive spin on their act, it was l'shem shemayim. The daughters of Tzlofcha, there's a gemara that says this. The daughters of Lot, they were mechavein l'shem shemayim. What were they doing? They were doing the mitzvah of Yibam. They were rebuilding the world. The world is chorban, needs to be rebuilt. It has to be rebuilt by the close relatives. So again, you see, it was not available. But it's more than an Avera. Every Yibam is an Avera. It's not an Avera.
Why do they have to get him drunk?
Okay, so it's problematic. You're right. This is everything has to be there. Nothing is simple.
It was a machba. He would have been machba.
All right. Okay, now we did not yet mention that this pasuk can also be interpreted in reference to Boaz. We translate both according to Rashi and Targum Shelo Ozav Chasto Eschayim Yesanesim in reference to Hashem. Hashem did not abandon the living and the dead. Hashem provides. Rashi says he's metapel with the nesim. We explain more homiletically. It means Hashem is now preparing, coming, giving menucha to the neshama of Machlein through the Yibam. But it also refers to Boaz. He's a good man. He's a good man. He's done with us chesed, and the Mepharshim said he was the one that came to Moab to bury my husband and to bury Machloin v'Chilion. He's our relative. What happens when a tragedy happens? Even though we left, what happened? Limelech, he left. There was a famine in Eretz Yisrael. He couldn't take it anymore. The poor people, the collectors are coming. They're not giving him menucha. So Limelech, he left. he left, but obviously, you know, he still kept the cell phone numbers of all of his relatives. And then years later, when Elimelech died, so what did Naomi do? She needed a rabbi to officiate at the funeral of her husband. Elimelech says in the Medrash, who did she call? She called her close relative. She called Boaz. Boaz got in a car. He came from Eretz Yisrael. He traveled, got a visa. He came to Moab to officiate. To give a kever Yisrael. To make sure everything was done. Kidas uchidin. And then again, when Nachlon and Kilion died, again, Boaz arrived to take care of the funeral, take care of their needs when they died. Now, the only difficulty with that is, how come Rus didn't recognize? Rus already should have recognized who the person was. It's not such a question. You can say that Rus wasn't involved. Rus was a daughter-in-law, so she was on the sidelines. Not every time you know exactly what's going on behind the scenes, but the one, Naomi, who's the one who was in charge of the family, she was the one who was in contact with Boaz, and here saying, wow, look at the Hashkocha Pratis. Here we come back to Eretz Yisrael, and where do you accidentally find yourself in the field of Boaz? What a great man. This man, he's good to us now with the living, and he was good with us in the past. When my husband, your husband died, he was the one, you don't even realize, he was the one that took care of all of the needs of the dead years ago, whenever it was, not that long ago, when they died. So we darshan this in reference to Boaz, not only in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Now, once Rus hears that he is a relative of Naomi, so Rus begins to elaborate and tell Naomi about all of the good things that he did for them. Now, here is something very peculiar. Curious. It says Rus HaMoavia. Why all of a sudden do we refer to her as the HaMoavia? She already converted, according to the Targum and according to most of the commentators, at this point in time, she already was a full-fledged convert. You'll say maybe when they first arrived, she did not convert, but she already at this later point in time. So why are we rubbing it in? Chazal say you're not supposed to insult a ger, even 10 generations. Don't say something nasty about their nation. They're very sensitive to where they've come from. So here, similarly, the pasuk immediately rubs it in. Now we'll see exactly why. There's a lot of discussion. Vatoymer Rus HaMoavia. We didn't say the word HaMoavia before when we mentioned Rus. Multiple times we mentioned, she said, this one said, but here with the word HaMoavia, Gam also, Ki Omar Elai, he said to me, let me tell you about all the kind things that he did for me. Im hanu odim asher li tidbokin, you shall cleave to the young men. I want you to stay, I want you to attach yourself to my workers. Ad im kilu eis kol hakotzir, until the entire harvest, asher li, until it's over. Kilu means until the end. Eis kol hakotzir, asher li, that is to me. In other words, she told Rus that don't worry, it's not only today. You're giving a bracha. It's got told Naomi. You're giving a bracha. Baruch Hashem, you came home today with 3 measures of grain, barley. Okay, that's good. How long is that going to last us? A week? 2 weeks? It's a long, you know, it's going to be a long summer. It's a long summer. So, okay, you're giving a nice bracha, but the bracha is going to run out. Do not worry, my mother-in-law. The bracha is not going to run out because this man told me I should come back tomorrow for more and come back the next day until the harvest season is over. The harvest season was 3 months. 3 months. So therefore he's saying, don't worry, there's more to come. Stay with the young men, do what you did yesterday, follow behind them, they're going to leave over in between the rows and the bundles, you'll be able to collect between them, not going to harass you, Adam Kilu, until it's over, Ace Kolak, let's say the entire harvest season, that's Shali. Let's take a look over here at the Rashi. There is no Rashi, so go to the Targum, Pasuk Aleph, Va'amarasrus Moavisa, Af, also, Arum. Arum means that, ki. It's a translation for ki, amar li. Also that, gam ki, he said to me.
Gam is the
key word. Gam is af. Gam means af. Arum means ki. So it means gam ki. He also said to me, amar li. Now here is an unusual word. Until now, when we have the word Na'orim and Nar and Narosai, the Targum consistently translated the word as with an ayin. I've got the exact word, an elem. And Ella means a youth.
Yeah.
Elam, Aleph, Lamed, Mem. And the various forms of the word of Elam, depending on how it's used in the Pasuk. Here, the Targum very, very mysteriously changes from the word, the Sheresh of Aleph, Lamed, Mem, that he has used until now, to the word Ravya. And Ravya means a child. A ravya, like a kravya, a kruv. A kruv comes from a ravya, a child. He told me...
Well, an ar is a child too.
But until now, we have the word an ar already multiple times. Let's see if we can quickly find an example. We have to actually find for the... Pasuk Tezvav. Gam sholdo sholo minatzos vazavtem v'lita...
Okay,
so look at the Targum in Pasuk Tesvav, and he commanded Ule Moy. He commanded his young men. Okay, now the word Na'arav is the same thing Na'arim. It's exactly the same thing. So why suddenly did the Targum? That's not the food they all been running more other times. So why did suddenly the Targum trans? That's going to touch upon why we mention the word Moaviyah. Okay, we're going to get that in one moment. Actually, another pasuk. If we go back, pasuk ches. I'm looking for. Okay, give me one moment. Pasuk ches. Okay, go back to pasuk ches. Vayomer Boaz al Rus halo shemat. Okay, ami v'choisid vakim im na'aro soy. Okay, that's what he actually told. Na'aro soy is my girls. Feminine form, not in Hanorim. Stay with the girls. Tznius, Mechitzos. We have different sidewalks in Beis Lechem. We have the sidewalk for the men and the sidewalk for the women. We have a mechitza. Okay? It was a very holy place. Not to make litzanis, but these are very holy people. We get carried away today. We make believe. That's why it becomes such a litzanis, because we're not holding on this madrega. We're not holding on these madregas, but there are real people out there. Yeah, you have to have faith in humanity. There are people who are tzaddik. Few and far in between, yeah. Pasik, hey, vayim boyaz lina'aro, hanitzava l'mi hanaro hazos. The Targum, l'mi hanaro hazos, pasik, hey, give me one moment. Le'edain uma riva, the young girl, riva. So you want to say the word riva means a girl. And an Ella means a man. Means a man. Very good. Okay, that's a part of the answer.
It's always a young man.
A young man, okay. But when he says Lenaro Sai, there's a conjugate. If this thesis is correct, that a Riva is a girl and an Elam is a man, but it says Naro Sai. Naro Sai, the Targum translates as an Elam. So it's not consistent. Okay, so we have over here inconsistencies. Okay, there are a lot of inconsistencies. So we'll come to that in one moment. Okay, but let's see what the Targum. Let's go back to the Targum, back to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. I want you to stay with Pasuk Chaf Aleph from the Targum. So he says to her, I want you, Ravya Dili, Amar Li, Im Ravya Dili, Titosfin, I want you to cleave. The word titosfin is the translation of the word tidbakin, ad zimon, dichdei, until the dichdei yeshetzon, until the time that it passes. Yeshetzon means to pass. Dichdei means the time. Yeshetzon, yas kol chatzada, dili, my harvest. I want you to continue to cleave with my young men until the harvest season passes. So now, again, question. What was the question? Why here is she called Rus HaMoaviyah? Mm-hmm. So someone to suggest is because he never said this to her. He never said to her, I want you to cleave with men. That would be a breach in tznius to tell a young, attractive woman to hang out with the boys. Even on today's standards, right? You wouldn't tell a young girl to hang out with the boys. It's not good for her, and it's not good for them.
Why can't you say men and women working?
So that's discussed. Some are a bit surprised to see that in the field women worked, and we don't find in ancient times women did the harvesting, they did other type of work. There were different parts to the labor. There was a division of labor, obviously, but she's going out to cut. Did the women actually go out and cut the grain? Possibly. Some more farshim say it's not likely because kol kavuda bas melech penima. We're dealing with Boaz. We're not just dealing with an average person. Okay, so maybe yeah, maybe not. But did he go and tell her to stay with the men? So this is something which the Medrash appears to be very critical, and a lot of the later commentators are very disturbed why the Medrash is looking to be so critical, why we're calling her a Moaviyah because she still had bad tendencies. She, even though she converted, she was a rookie.
She was a newbie.
Okay, a newbie. Right out of the farm, right out of training. She did not yet have experience. An experienced Rebbetzin, would not say, he told me to hang out with the men, with the boys. You wouldn't talk about, even if it's true. Even if it's true, you wouldn't say that. You would be more delicate. And especially when he never said it. Mm-hmm. He never said. He says, "Ko sid bokim im na'aro soy with my girls. You hang out. I have a division of labor. There are men and there are women. Stay with the young ladies. Don't stay with the men." And who picked up on this mistake? So let's go jump to the next pasuk. Pasuk habeis that toimer nami el rus kalosa toiv, excellent, very good. He told you to stay with him through the remainder of the harvest season. Very good. Take him up on his offer. Tov biti, good, my daughter. Ki seitziim na'aroi sov. Okay, na'aroi sov is feminine. Doesn't say na'arov. It says na'aroi sov with a sof. Naomi corrected her daughter-in-law, once she calls her daughter, "My daughter-in-law, he would never say that to you. Impossible. He would say to you, Ko sid bo kim im na im na na im im hanorim. Ki amar ilai im hanorim asher litid bo kim." Never would he say such a thing to you. Would the God Ladar tell a young woman, hang out with the boys? Never. My daughter, what did he really say to you? He said to you, hang out with the girls. Tov biti ki seitzi, it's good im na'aroi sof, with the girls. And indeed, that's exactly what he did tell her. When you go back to Pasek Tesvav, he did say to Naro soy, hang out with the girls, not with the boys. So, v'lo yifku boch besodech, and you should not visit. V'lo yifku boch, you should not go and visit another field. I want you to remain in this field, hang out with the girls. So therefore, the Mefarshim, the Medrash, is very harsh. The Midrashim, Chazal, they're always looking to super magnify minor imperfections, gesundheit, and that's why here we attribute this nida. No one should learn from this Yiddish Amida. You're learning this in Shul on Shavuos, and you're listening to a girl talk, and she's saying, "Boaz told me I should go hang out with the boys." This is extremely dangerous. So therefore, when we say this pasuk, we call her Rus HaMoaviyah. We say, when people hear this, she's saying this from the perspective of a Goyisha girl, of a Shiksa, a Moaviyah. Only a Moaviyah would not pick up on the nuance of a Gadol Hadar to say, he never said that. He said, go hang out with the girls, not with the boys. So the Targum says, the Targum says Ravya. Oh, so what does it mean, Rav? So what does it mean, Ravya? So Ravya is inconclusive. Because Ravya, as you pointed out, it says, who is this Na'ara? And the word Ravya is used in reference to a girl. But Ravya here, when it said Na'aro Soy, when he actually said to her in Pasuk Tezvav, go with the girls, Na'aro Soy, the Targum said, translated with the Aleph Lamed Mem word, Elaine. So the words are really interchangeable. The question is, why is he picking one word or another? So one answer is, Zayn HaChanami, Naomi never meant, and Rus never meant, when she said, that's exactly what the Targum was maybe trying to save her. The Targum could be is not like the Midrashim that's critical. Well, you can't avoid the Rusa Movia part, but what did she mean? When she said the Narim, she did not mean the adults. It means the Kindlach. You know what? I'll give you a sarge and be a babysitter. Take care of the 3-year-olds. I want you, while you're here, you're working, so you know what? While you're here, child care. All of my workers, you know, it's a big thing today. You can call certain companies they offer, you come to work with your children, and there's child care. We have a floor where you can drop them off in the morning, you pick them up in the afternoon, and the whole day there's babysitting. So all my workers come with their children, and we have babysitting services. I am offering you a job. You can be a babysitter. You can be a nanny for the children. Ravia has a connotation, kinderlach, little ones. And that is why Boaz saw her the very first time, he did not want the workers to suspect that he wanted to marry her. So he called her, who's this child? He sees their Rus collecting. Rus was already a mature woman. But Boaz says, what is this child doing here? Because he would say, who is this woman? They'll look, oh, you're looking at women. You want to marry her? What's the Gadol Hadar doing? So he says, who is this child? I can't really see so well. I don't have my glasses on. It looks like there's a child here. What's this child doing here in the farm? Ravia. That's why in Pasuk Hey, the Targum translated it. Who is this Hanara Hazos? So what we're trying to suggest is the word Ravia has the connotation of a little child where there's no impropriety. There's nothing harmful when Boaz says, so, you know, stay with the little boys. They're little kinderlach. They're 3-year-olds. Kindergarten. Who are the kindergarten teachers today? Women. All the Haredi schools, except for Satmar, of course. But in all the Haredi schools, the women, they have a motherly figure, takes care of little children. So this, she did not mean to say anything wrong, but it had a bad connotation. And because that a bad, it can be interpreted not 100%, the Pasuk had to protect itself by saying, Gurus Hamoavia. Only a shiksa would talk like this, would not be sensitive to language, would mislead people who would hear this and would think that Rus wanted, that the Gadol Hadar is saying Lashon Hara, the Gadol Hadar allows a woman to hang out with men, it's not proper. So therefore we're calling her, don't get carried away, it's a Rus Hamolia, she has not yet perfected her midos, she has not yet become the famous Revitzin, the famous Ima Shel Malchus, not yet. It's a protection not to learn the wrong mesh. That is the gist of this, of the Rus HaMovia, the discrepancies in the Targum between here and what it said before. Yeah.
There's another attempt to soften the tone of this. Explain this. It says, of course she did not say this untruth with malicious intent.
Of course, right. I was trying to say right.
Rather, she thought Boaz had told her to go with the maidens because he didn't trust her or the men. That's what she believed. Otherwise, he really wanted her to stay with the men. Therefore, in order to avoid casting aspersions on either the men or herself, she reported his instructions as they were intended to be in her thinking. Since she was not yet fully versed in Jewish moral practice, her well-meaning effort failed, and therefore her mother-in-law corrects her, and then from now on, that's the terminology.
Okay, so that's really what we've been touching upon.
Yeah. Going to okay. The children and all this.
Okay, that's the children are a little bit of a different idea, yeah.
Could also be reputation, just the reputation, why?
Of course, yeah.
You go back to Pasuk Vav, where it says, Vayan Hanar, or Hanitzo. And it says, "Vayoma na Roma Avia." So he, he gave her that type of a name, a reflection. So, and he's the one who wanted to, marry her. Is there some kind of connection?
Well, the word tidbakin, we did mention that the fact that he chose the word tidbakin has a connotation that he wanted to marry her. Because the word dibok is used in reference to marriage. Alken yazav ish es avav yasim over dovak beishtai. So the fact that that word was chosen is hinting that he would want to marry her. Okay, so this is, let's do the Targum on this possible stop. We need to do the Targum Pasuk HaBeis. The Targum of Chasav HaBeis reads Let me find it. So where did it go? It's very hard to find the targum in this. Here it is. Okay. Va'amaras nami lurus targum pasuk habeis. Va'amaras nami lurus kalta shapir. Shapir means excellent. Shapir appears to be the translation of tov. Okay, that's a very interesting word. Shapir. Toiv. Birati, my daughter. Arum. Tikpin im. You should cleave. Tikpin is a translation. Tikpin means to go out. The word tikpin means you shall go out. Tetsi im ulem so. To go out with his daughters. Here we're using, we're switching back to the regular word. Ulem so, the girls. Vilo. Yeorun bich bechakal achoni, you should not meet yifku. The word yeorun is the translation for to encounter. Do not encounter another field. Stay where you are.
Really, I mean, it means that they shouldn't bother you.
Pegia.
Yeah.
Don't go to another field. Velo yifku bach. People should not meet you and touch you. Pegia means to entreat.
Is lo yifku bach connected to bisnadeh
acher? I think so.
Rather than imna rosa
kama. No. No.
Okay, so that
I think it's connected to the next expression. Go with narosa velo yifku bach bisnadeh acher. No occurrence should come upon you in another field. It's an expression. It's not really literal. You should not have any encounter. There should not be another field. Different experiences. You'll have different experiences that are not going to be so pleasant. Quit while you're ahead.
What?
You think the grass is greener on the other side? What?
Yaron uses the word Yaron.
So what does Yaron mean?
It's an error.
Yeah.
A happening.
What?
A happening. What's error mean?
Oh, error means...
Contentious.
When somebody raises an
objection. So if you go to another field, you'll be
Some
subject.
Will bother
you.
Right.
Why subject yourself to harassment?
It's not encounter. Encounter would be yifgeshu.
To meet. That yifgeshu is a meeting.
Means to bother or
to daven. When you pray, it's called a pegia. A yifka b'amaka. You entreat. You're going to have to negotiate. If you're going to go into another person's field,
the word pega.
Right.
If you go into someone else's field, you're going to have an encounter with another balabais, and you're going to have to negotiate your rights.
It's a bad encounter.
No, your pegia is tefillah. Vayifka b'amokoim. It depends on the context.
In that case, but generally speaking, It means that in a negative way.
Okay, you're gonna have a new experience, a new encounter in a new field, which you do not know how it will go. It may go very good, it may go very bad. It's not worth the risk. You've already stumbled upon a place that you know will be okay. Quit while you're ahead. And with that, we're gonna quit while we're ahead. We're gonna stop.